2015. Woo! First show 2015, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? We are back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show! How are you, funky cats out there? My name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, a writer, a photographer, a director, whatever it is that needs to get done, I will do the deed, damn it. And across from me is always wonderful, the greatest person I've ever met in my whole entire life. I should damn well marry her. How's it going, Carolyn?
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Carolyn.
Happy
how you doing?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That was a long time. That was a long 2014.
Yeah, it feels like it ended really quickly, but then when I look back on it, like the whole year in hindsight, I was like, damn, that year was long.
It was a vicious, most heinous of all years. But you know what? That's the thing that a lot of people have been saying, like at least when the year was ending, everyone was unanimous about it being a crappy-ass year. And I'm going to tell you what, let's go against the grain. Maybe it wasn't a crappy-ass year. Maybe it was a very eventful year at the same time. Not everything can be good, but it's always easy to say bad news. Well, fuck that shit, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Carolyn and Joe Show, and we are here to keep you entertained and, you know, give a little slice of life and towards what we do, how we do it. I don't know. A little bit of whatever you want to call it. Yes, we are listening to Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars. I like this groove, Carolyn. I think this is a freaking amazing song.
I like it. I'm a big fan of Bruno Mars. I have all of his albums, and I will say he's probably like the most mainstream artist that I like, which is not, I guess, a bad thing. You know, he's groovy. I'm down with the Bruno Mars. But you know what, though? This reminds me of James Brown.
I mean, when you go down this aisleway, it reminds you of all the great stuff, but that's what makes it great, because you think about it.
Because he's taking from the greats.
You're making it his own, you know what I mean? I'm also in Mark Ronson, you know, it's both of them.
Who is Mark Ronson?
Well,
I'm not familiar.
For me personally, Mark is the guy that that wrote that song that I'm a big fan of, that that Amy Winehouse did, called Valerie. He's the one that, Valerie. Mm-hmm. That's the song. That's the jam that I know him for. But also, I guess in the UK he does a lot of other stuff. But you know what? Americans don't get that UK influence or that injection as much, because it's a different country.
It's across the pond.
There's a whole other world outside of America. Holy crap! You know what I mean?
And major news happened.
Yes, major news.
In France. I mean, that was the first big story. You know.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, for those of you, I guess, not paying attention to the news, but you know, the whole Charlie incident of their newspaper. There's a newspaper in France. I should probably get to this maybe after the Carolyn news. But
fine, you can do whatever you want to do.
It's a big story.
You know, the beat's gonna drop down a little bit, and you're gonna get the Carolyn's news is coming down in 10 seconds. Mm, so however you want to enjoy the dance, so enjoy the dance until the Carolyn's news.
I'm gonna dance. Oh yeah. Okay, guys.
And now the Carolyn's news.
My news.
First one, 2015.
First hip-hooray. News of 2015. And let me just say, it feels so good to like actually be announcing the news in 2015, because it felt weird when I was talking about 2015 shows when it was 2014. But now that we're in 2015, yeah, I got some shows for you all. And the first one that is officially confirmed is March 28th. We will be at PIX, P-I-X. the Pittsburgh Indie Comics Expo. And the way they spell comics is C-O-M-I-X. I guess that's going with the P-I-X.
That's like when you spell like things with a that are supposed to have an S, but you put a Z at the end of it.
Yeah, a lot of people spell my comic strip that way. I have a comic strip called Curls for those new listeners. And it's spelled traditionally like C-U-R-L-S, Curls. But a lot of people like to add that Z.
Add the Z? Yeah. After the S?
I should say substitute the Z for the S.
Why?
I don't know. I've seen all the hip kids write it C-U-R-L-Z.
That's the way the kids are spelling it these days?
Yeah. And, you know, I can't control them. I might as well just rock it.
You can try, right?
I mean, I do. Like, the one thing that I get kind of, like, sad about abbreviating is Xmas. But last year it was kind of, like, getting to me. I was like, oh, cool, Xmas. But then I was like, it should be Christmas. You can't take the Christ out of the Christmas.
That's what it is, right?
But now it's just Xmas to everybody. But that's what it's going to end up being in
50
years.
But in a way, it's like a different religion or a different celebration if it really isn't Xmas. Because it's like, well, are you doing Hanukkah? Are you doing Christmas? Are you doing what? Oh, no, it's an X. It could be anything, right? Then just call it...
Holiday time.
Holiday celebration.
Yes.
2015.
Isn't there like a Seinfeld episode where they have their religion, which is like some Festivus or something?
Where is there not a Seinfeld episode to do with anything?
I don't know if it's Festivus or whatever. Anyway.
Welcome, Festivus.
Yes, so March 28th, we'll be at PIX. And that's all day on Saturday, March 28th. Really excited to be back in Pittsburgh again. And Joe hasn't been in Pittsburgh in a while, so...
I really do enjoy Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, I know. And I was there 2 years ago, so this will be a good reunion. Okay, also, a three-day show, May 29th through May 31st. We will be at AwesomeCon DC, and Joe is working on their commercial right now, which you might remember last year, the AwesomeCon commercials were on during Walking Dead and a whole bunch of other really cool shows, so you'll probably see them coming up this year, and we will be there. And also, the other confirmed show, we're going to be at Baltimore Comic Con on September 25th, 26th, and 27th, another three-day show, big massive event at Baltimore Convention Center. So we hope to see you at those three shows.
I'd like to also add that my band Mickey and Mallory are going to be playing at Epicure in Fairfax January 30th. Yes, that's a Friday. We're going to be playing with the band Moon Scene. So
Moon Scene.
You guys go out there. And it's going to be a pretty, I think personally, it's going to be a pretty rocking show.
How much are tickets?
I have no idea.
Is there a fee?
I have no idea yet. I'm just leaking this information now for anyone who's listening to it. The show has been booked. We're going to go play. I don't even know what time it's going to be yet, but you guys will definitely find out on that day, and it will be during a time in which you can get there, and it's at a place where you can get there too. It's in Fairfax. It's in Fairfax, Virginia. Epicure Cafe, a great, awesome venue. I've always been describing Epicure Cafe as like the Blue Moon Cafe of, you know, of where we're located. If people don't know Blue Moon, it's the, you know, it's another great venue.
Bluebird. I was getting a little
not
confused.
Bluebird.
Yeah, I was
the
like,
Bluebird,
Blue Moon,
the Bluebird Cafe,
or?
The Bluebird Cafe over at, which is another great place, Blue Moon, but it's like the Bluebird, but like, you know, the famous one you see in Nashville. But I always think like, the Epicure is like that. So,
dude, what if they made a show like Nashville?
Why don't I make a show like that?
But
then?
It's like Epicure, but in Fairfax.
Why don't I?
And Epicure is like right across from Guitar Center for all you musicians and magicians out there.
Yeah.
You can go get your gear at Guitar Center and then go across the street to Epicure
and
see the show.
You can check it out. It's a great venue. Amazing things. Amazing things. Check it out. January 30th. We'll tell you what the time is soon, but it's probably going to be, you know, you'll have time. It'll be evening, and you'll have time to get to it after work. How about that? It's a Friday, so we'll make it rocking.
Yeah, there should be no excuse.
No excuse,
you
damn
can't,
it!
You can't be like, this is a school night.
Yeah, it's not.
Unless you have school on Saturday.
This is how we end January, the first month. We're going to end the first month of 2015 with the Mickey and Mallory show in Epicure. Amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. Congratulations on booking your second show.
Congratulate me after the show, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty special. It's pretty a big deal to put yourself out there.
Yeah. I mean, and this is, you know, I love this band. It's one of the greatest things I've ever been part of, so I'd like to keep every show as important as the last
one. Yeah, cool. And we'll have more Mickey and Mallory news coming up. And also, I guess this is new since the last podcast, but Mickey and Mallory now has a logo.
That's true.
Designed by yours truly.
Designed by you.
Oh my God.
You did it.
Can we keep talking about this?
Yes, we can keep. This is how we can talk about it.
I want to talk about myself.
Well, I'm okay with talking. I love talking about myself, even though I despise myself at the same time. But like, a lot of people spent their time on New Year's Eve going out and dressing up and getting ready to party. You know what we did? We put the work in and released the, and you made the Mickey and Mattery logo. Amazingness.
Right.
Amazingness. Amazingness.
It's amazing. You
I think it's great.
Gotta check it out.
I think it's great because it is a combination of what like Mickey and Mallory really is. You took a lot. It has a mix of both of these flavors that, you know, that me and Jessica, what we inject into this band.
Yeah.
You know, it has a little bit of that grit, a little bit of that Western charm to it. A little bit of like, you know, the old fashioned, like even like those old fashioned like wrestling promo wrestling like posters.
Mm-hmm. But it's also modernized.
It's also very modernized.
Its own special way.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think we need to get stamps.
It's dangerous. I think we need to get shirts. I'd like to. What if we had merch? I don't know. We have 3 weeks to figure it out.
I don't want to like, you know, dismiss your dream, but everyone should know T-shirts are a hard sell.
That's true, but you can't have stickers or buttons or something.
We could do that.
Merch can be anything.
But you know what? T-shirts, Joe. It's a rough go.
That's right. I'll just make two.
I don't think you're ready for that right now.
I'll make backpacks.
I'm just trying to save you like $500.
But this is the best part of any endeavor like this. And I'm not saying I put this ahead of anything, but it's like those identity things that really make me excited about certain things. Like even with like Astray Productions, I was like, oh man, how's that logo gonna look? I'm like, when you have that, it's weird how like when you have a logo, when you have that identity built. It's like, do you have that moment where you're like, this is freaking real right now? You know what I mean?
You're like, I'm official.
Yeah,
I have a logo.
I'm bona fide. This is bona fide.
Heck yeah.
So thank you, Carolyn, for taking the time, your hard-earned vacation time to take the time to make this like a reality.
In reality, actually, I used a lot of my vacation time on other people's projects. And I'm not, like, dismissing you. It wasn't, like,
well,
you.
I'm taking this moment right now.
A pro bono.
I'm taking this moment that I can, you know, I'm taking this moment on this podcast that I usually use for bitching about the whole entire world. But I'm going to take this moment to say that what you did is amazing. And everyone should know how great your work is and how much you put into everything that you do, into anything that you do, and that they should all go to KarenBolewski.com.
They should.
And just, you know, I know giving you more work is one of those, you know, it's one of those things where it's
reward
like,
reward me with more work.
Yeah. It's like, oh,
but you know what?
Yeah.
Pay me.
Yeah. It's like one of that. It's one of those things where it's just like, oh, the more, you know, the more notoriety and name that you get, it's like, oh, but that also takes away time at the same time. But, you know,
it is like a double-edged sword. It's like, I want to do all this cool work, and I've been getting like a lot of really cool freelance projects, which hopefully I'll be able to talk to you guys about it.
But
it's on the hush-hush for now, and I hate doing that because it's like, I have this big announcement, but I can't talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's so lame, but it's true. It's kind of like, I'm really excited, I want to tell you, but I can't. So until that is released, I cannot tell you about these freelance opportunities I've had a part of. But you know, and it does take away from your free time though, because
it does.
Like I got New Year's Day off, but I was working on freelance projects.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really like, it was enjoyable, but it wasn't really relaxing like family time. You know, like a lot of people get that week off between Christmas and New Year's, and I'm not complaining. I mean, I had to work during those times, and I had no problem with working. But I'm just saying, like, it wasn't like that total relaxation, because the only days I had off was New Year's Day and Christmas. And on Christmas, that's pretty much devoted to Christmas, opening presents and, you know, and then previously, you know, going to church on Christmas Eve and, you know, the family time and all that. Like, and we did go out for Black Friday for a little bit after. Oh, actually, that was Thanksgiving. Ugh.
Thanksgiving.
I'm so like messed up with that.
Are
this
you?
Whole last month.
No,
yes, because I had so much to do, you know, and I don't know. It was good, though. But basically what I'm saying is that Christmas was dedicated to Christmas. I didn't really get a break. And then for New Year's, I was doing freelance projects. Again, those are all on my own choice doing. So it wasn't like I had to go into work or anything, but I'm just saying I didn't really get that full break between Christmas and New Year's like some people did. So if you got that, you're lucky and you should treasure that.
And that's the truth. It's like when people do take the time to take a break, you know, enjoy those moments. Or when you get a free moment, do what you want to do.
Yeah, enjoy it.
That's really what it comes down to. It's like, you know, do what you want to do.
But that's the crazy thing, you know, equating
this. Besides hurt people.
Equating this to the Charlie head to head. How do you pronounce? Head. Let's try to be friends.
See, it's the funny thing is because you're a cartoonist, you know, you're a cartoonist, you're an illustrator, and like a lot of people see that, you know, they see that perspective and they're like, oh, you do such great, like as a cartoonist, you do such great work, blah blah blah. Lots of people see your work, or you know, or the hope is, you know, they see your work, and we were talking about this double-edged sword you have. It's like, and what we're talking about is like, you would die to get the whole world to see your work. Mm-hmm. And then once you get the whole world to see your work, then people want you to die.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how does that work? And it's
so
funny.
Messed up.
It's messed up too, because like you think about the life of a cartoonist in general. And we talk about this even like on the other side of the panel, like at the conventions. And it's one of the strongest points is that we always bring up. And even I guess you can say even my work, people have like a lot of glamour about it. But then at the end of the day, It's the other side of the table.
It's a panel.
Sorry, I'm messing up all types of stuff.
It's a panel.
It's
2015. That we've done,
yeah,
at New York Comic Con
and Awesome Con. But like people see this glamorous side. They're like, oh, you're doing photos, making films and commercials. Oh, you're a cartoonist doing all that. But there's a loneliness about it because like the end of the day, you know, let's bring it even darker. It's, you know, let's bring it even darker. This is a line that I heard on the movie Up in the Air, where George Clooney talks to Anna Kendrick about like the reasons about getting married or something like that. Yeah, it was like, sell me on marriage. What makes that so great? And it's like, don't you want to, you know, not be alone? Like, isn't that the key? It's like you get married and you're not going to be alone for the rest of your life. And he was like, I put my mother in a nursing home and I put my father in a nursing home, and let's not kid ourselves, we all die alone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the loneliest things. It's like, well, we're making all this great work, or we want to make this great work, but at the end of the day, it's like us and, you know, by ourselves.
Well,
the
thing about like the Charlie newspaper and the offices and everything is that they are a group of cartoonists, several cartoonists, and they all work together. Which is the opposite of like how American cartoonists work. Most editorial cartoonists work in their homes, and maybe some of them are lucky enough to have a studio. And they don't work together. I only know of like maybe a couple cartoonist studios that people, you know, come together to work in the United States, and they're not very big.
Yeah.
But there they have a whole newspaper devoted to cartoons, devoted, you know, to all of that material and having that freedom of expression. The closest thing I can think of it in America is, I guess, Mad Magazine, but at the same time, Mad Magazine isn't as crude. Their level of humor is as crude as South Park.
Yeah.
I guess that's the closest thing. If you can kind of mix Mad with South Park and then, like, a really, like, more newspaper-based. And over there, they appreciate the humor more, and they know they can get that it's humor. They're not taking it as much as an insult as other people would. But I guess some people really got outraged. They don't have a sense of humor.
Well, just for people who don't know, because it's funny how the way world news works, or just news, or anything that happens these days.
It can get twisted.
No, I'm not talking about that twisted in general. I'm just talking about the way people today intake information. That, yeah, important things happen, but there's such a quick turnaround for news that like, oh, that's big. Then 3 days later, something else will just cross-check it out of the way. Like, for your perspective, or from your side, just, you know, sort of, for people to know, so it's on record on this podcast, what exactly happened?
Okay,
that made up all this news, that made you do the illustrations, and made you do the postings about it, because you reacted, too, to this. What happened?
Two gunmen, covered in black, and, what is it called? Face mask? What is that all called?
Face mask?
Face mask, black, rifles.
Ski mask?
Ski masks. Came into the newspapers of Charlie's, and they basically were looking for certain cartoonists, and also they shot other people there too, like the editor, and I guess like they had some economic guy got shot too. I think all in all it was like 12 people shot. I think a couple people survived. I don't know how they did, but because like it's kind of weird because they could have wiped out those guys too. So I don't know how all those guys survived, but they were definitely going in there looking for certain cartoonists and telling them, is this you? Where is he? Let me find, like, where's this guy? You know, and like they came in and then shot them and said, like, you know, praise be Allah, you know, whatever the, you know, their mission was. And apparently in one article I read that a female cartoonist was taking her daughter to or from kindergarten. I can't remember, but preschool, kindergarten, and or I don't know if the daughter was there. Maybe she was picking the daughter up. I'm not really sure. Anyway, she was leaving the building, and they asked her to open the door, and she had to, like, put in the key code and let them in. But part of me was like, would they just kill her on the spot?
If
they
so real quick, gunman came into a magazine or a newspaper, right? Mm-hmm. And basically, because they didn't agree with the angle or anything that the, you know, they found the content that they were producing offensive to them and their stance, they came in, and as revenge, they're like, let's kill you. And they came in with guns and guns blaring, and they had certain targets.
Yes.
And then they left. Yes. They killed people because they disagreed with what they had. And with the magazine.
They shot a police officer that was Muslim when they were leaving. They said the whole incident took about 5 minutes, and then a Muslim police officer was down there, was down by the street when they were leaving, and then they shot him.
So pretty much it was like they went in like a mafia hit, just gunned him down, and left to make that statement.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Yes.
But the people that they're killed, I mean, this is again, it is like a political magazine, right?
Yeah.
Or a newspaper, and they killed the editor, and they killed several cartoonists.
And other people.
And other people. Then on the way out, of course, they killed whoever they felt like, because that's what they felt like. So that's what happened.
Yes, right? That's pretty much what happened. And then there was a manhunt for a couple days, and then they found them in a Jewish deli, and then they had hostages in the Jewish deli. But I've heard different reports that, like, at first there was no one that died in the Jewish deli, but, like, for some reason now I heard that some people died in the Jewish deli. So I don't really know. I don't know all that end part. Which I probably should be more educated about, but I was just more affected by this because I'm a cartoonist. And, like, the whole cartoonist community is kind of outraged, and it's like...
Well, how'd you first hear about it? Let's just break it down. Just break it down.
I guess I found out about it on the internet, maybe? I just saw a whole bunch of people posting, like, I am Charlie messages, and I was like, oh, you know, like... And then I saw the headlines of, like, massacre, cartoonist died, because I'm friends with a ton of cartoonists on Facebook. It's probably like more than half of my friends.
Because I remember for me, the first time I saw it was one, Raina Telgemeier posted about like a write-up or a small thing about like, her, you know, my heart goes out to, you know, the people in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course Arcia posted like the banner on his image as well.
Mm-hmm.
So of course I had to think about, I mean, this was like in the morning and I had to like wonder what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, it was like,
I didn't even know it was cartoonists yet either. I had no clue what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw that a lot of the cartoonists were posting, and then I saw people posting like cartoonists died, and then, you know, I'm researching it and stuff, and then like I've known about their newspaper, but it's all in French, so like I obviously don't read it, and I obviously don't get it here in America, so you know, I'm not like super familiar with everything, but I knew that they had Muhammad cartoons. And they've been doing it for years. It's not anything new. Like, they've been doing it for decades. But I knew also that a few years ago that there was some type of bomb blast, like, right outside the office.
Like a flash bomb.
So I'm like, dude, they're already targeted. Much like 9/11, how the World Trade Center was already targeted with the truck bomb, like, a few years before it actually happened.
Yeah.
So, like, honestly, if I worked there as a cartoonist, I'd be like, yeah, this could, like, people could kill us. You know, like, it's definite, like, that they're a target. They're like, somebody actually did try to kill us. So, you know what I mean? So it's like, there was an attempt already.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of the cartoonists and the editor that died, like, they have quotes, I guess, in hindsight, you know, maybe not from the grave, but they've had quotes, like, when they were alive, saying, like, when I die, I want to die standing, not on my knees. And like, I guess the editor was like, I don't have a wife, I don't have children, like, I don't have any debt. If they died, then I die for this, you know, like, he has nothing that's waiting for him right now. Like, that was his life mission, I guess, was to make the newspaper, you know. And I don't know, you know, I think some of them did actually have family, but you know, it's just disappointing to know that, like, honestly, really, cartoonists are the nicest people that I know. Like, out of any group of people that I've met. You know, like, sometimes, like, I meet actors or musicians or, you know, I meet a lot of artistic people. You know, painters or, you know, people that do podcasts. And, like, there's different segments of mostly artists that I know, because, you know, I hang out in that crowd. But I really think that cartoonists are like the most lovable. Like almost every cartoonist I know is like super nice, super lovable. You know, everyone can give you tips. Oh, where'd you get that printed at? Oh, I got this printed at this printer. Or, oh, what type of brush do you use? I ordered this brush here, or I got it at this store. You know, like they're not going to hide their secrets or something. You know, in other businesses, people are like, oh, I'm not going to share my trade secret with you. You know, like it's like, oh, sorry, I didn't know that your printer was, you know, only for you, you know, like, but, you know, as a cartoonist, like people are so open to sharing ideas and very nice. And I mean, honestly, I have not met very mean cartoonists. So I can't see like these guys that died. Like, yeah, they had a radical message, but I don't think that they want violence, you know? And I think they were actually against the whole violence.
Well, that's the thing that was brought up. It's just like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like they themselves are not going out and doing bombs and
no,
stuff
like
that.
No, they're like drawing on a piece of paper.
Yeah, it's like ink. It's, and to me, when I was looking at this, and you know, it's so amazing how like making something out of nothing can literally impact people so much to want to kill somebody.
Yeah,
that's to me when I looked at that. When I saw that and I read that, that really meant how important it is to do what you want to do, to take that moment to be like, hey man, like, you know, me making a film, me writing a song, me doing any of that, or anyone doing some of that, and it's like, you better do it now, and it better be what you want to do, and you better be trying to get your message out there, because literally, you know, you could die, dude.
Yeah,
you could literally,
well, like,
for
I mean,
any reason, you know, anything
well,
can happen.
The other thing that's crazy too is like the whole interview controversy right before Christmas, and then
I feel a fucking scam.
And then it probably, who knows? And then like Seth Rogen and James Franco have bodyguards on them and stuff, and obviously they're like, you know, the big stars in America. But like, I don't know if Trey Parker or Matt Stone, like they probably get death threats, but they probably don't like, they probably don't take it as seriously, but, you know, there might be somebody after them, you know? I don't know.
It's
so creepy.
Imagine that risk, though, because there's so many people out there who go through their lives, you know, and I'm not saying these are bad people, and I'm, you know, it might even sound like I'm saying they're bad people, but there's a lot of people that are non-confrontational. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that don't want to rustle feathers out there.
I would say that's most people.
And it probably is. And I understand that. But in a way, it's like imagine making work. Like, no matter what, not everyone's going to enjoy what I'm trying to say is, no matter what, not everyone's going to enjoy what you do. You know what I'm saying? If anything, you're doing a good job if it's either love or hate. You know what I mean? Because you're getting a reaction. So imagine making work where people are like giving you death threats and stuff like that.
That's,
it's like,
so crazy.
You gotta, it comes to a certain point where you gotta really think about like, do I want to do this? How much is this actually worth it to me? You know what I mean? How much is it really worth? And that's when you really know that's when you really sort of figure out what you love.
Yeah.
You know, would you die for this? You know what I mean? Do you really believe in this? Would you really do that? That's what a fucking belief is, man. Like a belief, I personally feel like a belief is beyond like, say, like a religion. A lot of people think like believing in something is like, oh, you have to believe in God and you got to believe in this and
well,
that. It's, no, you got to believe in, like, you got to believe, you got to take a stand for something. You got to be willing to, you know, in a way, you got to be willing. How far are you willing to do this? How much were you willing to take?
Somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
That's what fucking love is, man.
But didn't one of the Columbine killers go up to one of the girls and ask her if she believed in religion or something, and she said that she believed in God, and then they shot her. And then there was like this whole thing, like, there, because then they were like, my daughter, you know, whoever her parents were, I remember they said that they were so glad that she stood up for her. You know what I mean? Like, she could have been like,
but also that's taking that stance. It's like, would you rather live on? I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. That's what that fucking quote is. I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees.
It's just so crazy to me, though, because, like, also another thing is, I think there's a whole much larger issue than just these cartoonists.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's a whole big thing that's been centuries old, and they're just using those cartoonists as target. But it's crazy, though, too, like, the dynamics between Europe and...
As a statement, you know?
Yeah, between Europe and America with cartoonists, too. Like, for me personally, like, I hear about all these cartoonist issues. Like, in America, we hardly have, like, I think they have 24 people on staff at their Charlie newspaper. And then, like, in America, like, I think there's only probably, like, 24 editorial cartoonists everywhere. Yeah. Not just in one location.
But in the, like, in the Intercontinental.
There's not that many. And there's not that many that are on staff. Like, the only, like, I can only probably name, like, a few, you know? And, I mean, some newspapers still have a traditional editorial cartoonist, like, on staff, but it's not that many. It's seriously probably under 24 people in the whole United States.
And you're saying that's what represents the respect for the medium?
And there are other editorial cartoonists, but I'm talking about on-staff editorial cartoonists.
Yeah.
There's not that many. So all these other ones are doing it either, like, freelance, you know, or, you know, on their own, yeah, whatever. And, but it's just crazy to me, though, too, that, like, also what's happening, apparently, on top of all this mess is that newspapers are taking very popular Charlie cartoons and reprinting them without paying the cartoonists.
Oh, that's blasphemous.
Yeah, on top of everything else. So it's like, just go ahead, take my cartoon that I did and print it. Yeah, and I don't get any money for it. Yeah. You know, I mean, and it's not about money, but it's like about respect and also credit.
And that's a great thing that the internet teaches us.
And the other thing was that Yesterday, Today, Tomorrow with the Broken Pencil, that was like credited to Banksy, but it's really done by some other cartoonist.
Yeah.
So
it should be a co-credit then.
Well, no, Banksy didn't do it.
Oh, then if he didn't do it, then he shouldn't get credit for it.
Well, yeah, but someone else did it, you know, apparently, and then that was going around. And I don't know, man, it's just like the internet and miscrediting people was a thing this week, too.
But hopefully at the end of the day, too, the miscredit brings more.
I hope,
because it's also because almost in a way, I'm not saying it's great, but I'm also saying it's like the hard way of revealing an artist too. You know, because there will be those people. It's like you got two sides. You'll be the one person that there'll be the side that digs deep into it, and then the bypasser that'll just be like, oh, look at it, cool, and not really care how beyond it goes. You know, how much more further they'll take it.
Yeah, it's, what can I say? It's kind of, It's just overall sad, and this whole week has been. I think it's looking up now, but I don't know, man. 2015 started off pretty rough, and it hurts me
too,
though,
man.
As a cartoonist, though, to know that like somebody out there could like hate what you do and just shoot you. Like, I mean, I don't think that I'm a target necessarily. I mean, I did a Charlie cartoon, but a little statement piece. But I don't think, you know, what I did was bad enough to get a massacre.
But there's always that thinking of like, hey, you've really made it when you get that hate mail. You know what I mean? Because you
That's
know people
true.
Are looking at the same time.
And you know what? And
I know people. When,
and all this Muslim stuff aside, there are cartoonists that just draw jokes and stuff, and they get hate mail.
Yeah.
So it happens.
Hell, there's just beautiful women out there, and for them just to be like that, they get hate mail because they didn't respond to like someone.
Someone's
like
marriage proposal.
Someone's comment saying like, you're gorgeous, you know, say hi back to me. And they don't say hi back. And
I'm going to kill her.
The next one's like, oh, what a fucking bitch. You know,
yeah.
Cunt face. She's ugly as hell now. You know, it's like just because of that, you can get hate for anything, man. And it's, you know, it's not sad.
But those are all
it's
internet
not sad.
Words.
It's not sad, but it's freaking embarrassing.
Yeah, but those are all internet words. It takes like a whole
yeah,
another
person the world is.
To like go
that's,
out there and kill. And then also apparently they
the
were
world is,
they
man,
were
hiding.
They were paid by Al Qaeda and Yameen to do all that action. So
well, there you go. Highest bidder. That's what. See, that's what's scary to me, man. It's like how much money really controls everything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, you know, what are you doing? Here's $10,000. Go do the worst thing I can possibly tell you to do.
And also like the whole thing with American cartoonist not being, you know, being published but then not being paid, to me that also is so sad because it discredits their cartoon. And now, you know, in the past week everyone's been like, oh my gosh, we should love and nurture the value of cartoons, you know, like finally it's like this.
Oh yeah,
like
people have to get murdered for that, right?
Yeah, at first like I was like, oh, actually that's the one upfall or downfall or whatever of this situation, is that like maybe people will start paying attention to, maybe there will be younger kids who like want to be editorial cartoonists, you know?
Yeah.
To be like,
it does make it
oh
seem,
man, I could get killed. I want to be an editorial cartoonist.
If you think about it though, at the same time, it does add that badass level of like, I'm going to draw a cartoon, it's going to get published and people are going to, but like, I feel like it's fine as long as it has to be smart. I don't like it when it's just like stupid. Like, you know what I mean? Because what they did had a lot of intellect behind that, behind what they did.
Some people might argue with that.
No, like the work, like the cartoons.
some people might argue with that.
Yeah, well,
I've
yeah,
heard people being like, that's childish.
Yeah, but that's a
I don't even think that that should be printed, and they didn't deserve to die, but...
But that's a transparent, that's a transparent, you know, perspective on it, too, because like that's sort of like... That's like, you know, that's hitting Picasso and being like, oh, I can... That he, you know what I mean? It's in a way. In a way that it's both... It's a double thing. But if the goal is to be able to communicate... that's the key thing, is to be able to communicate something through your cartoons if that works. You know it doesn't work if you're not communicating and people are just looking at the sorry quality. That's what I'm saying.
Mm. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just a situation where, you know, they obviously chose a target, the targets to make their statements. And, you know, it is crazy because they are cartoonists. To me, it's, like, just so crazy. But then also, like, you know, Theo Van Gogh.
Yeah, but also,
the
like...
The descendant of... Which is... Theo Van Gogh is Vincent Van Gogh's brother. And then Vincent Van Gogh's brother had a child. And then the Vincent Van... Or Theo Van Gogh the second or whatever, third. I don't know which level we're at now. I guess second. He died a few years ago from making a film that was an anti-Islamic quoted, you know, anti-Islamic film. And he was murdered. So... And that was a film. So, you know, they're out there and they're targeting artists. And that's what's crazy to me.
That shows how important it is to do the work.
If anything, it kind of did rejuvenate me as a cartoonist. I know this sounds so horrible to say that, like, oh, these guys got murdered, but now I'm rejuvenated to be a cartoonist. Because, like, what, how else am I going to take that energy? That's the only way I can take it, you know?
Also, like, in a way, it sort of means... It's like, I look at it, if you look at it in a twisted perspective... It's sort of I'm trying to find the word where it like makes it reputable, but it makes it like, oh, this medium actually means something now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like saying, it's like it actually warrants it, or it actually, you know, it brings the worth up. I'm trying to find the short word for it, but it's one of those things where it's just like, oh, so cartoons actually do cause
affect people.
Yeah, they do that to make someone kill someone. I should keep doing this because people are actually possibly going to look at my stuff, and now it's even worth more because now people, the word cartooning and all that's out. And let's clarify also, this is like cartoons and political cartoons and stuff like that. It's not making a superhero book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
making a statement.
He's making statements, you know, with the cleverness of cartooning world. So it's weird how it takes a hate crime to go out there and be like, oh, it actually is worth doing, you know?
Yeah. The only, you know, the downside of editorial cartoons is that they are so in and out. You know, like, you can easily read it, and then the next day there's new news coming out.
Yeah.
It's so disposable in that sense, but...
News is disposable.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that being an editorial cartoonist is actually being a journalist.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people dismiss it. They're like, go draw your little cartoons, you know, and it's like, no, those editorial cartoonists, they are all... I went to the... Like, I guess it's called the Association of Editorial Cartoonists. I guess AEC. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. They had their annual conference was in D.C. like 2 or 3 years ago. And I went for one day. And those people are on top of their game. Like, they pay attention to world events. They are very smart. They're not, like, just dumb people doodling, you know? And they're like, as the equivalent of any journalist. And we've been to the Herblock Awards. And same thing with all of that. And like, Jen Sorensen won this year. And, like, it's just a great way to, like, really showcase people that know what they're doing. And, you know, I think cartoonists overall gets a bad rap. You know, people are like, oh, you just draw. Oh,
because
it's so funny.
It's like, but when you're dancing that fine line of, like, oh, cartoons are for kids. And it's just like, you know, you have the old way of thinking, always trying to hold that down.
Well,
or never growing up.
Also,
that's to me, that's actually what never growing up is being stuck at like an old mentality.
And
you know?
Newspapers back in the day, like that's how a lot of the news actually got around, was like the Thomas Nast cartoons, like way early on, over like 100 years ago. So, wow. I mean, I just know that in America, cartoons have been dying in the newspapers for a while now. Maybe, who knows, maybe we'll have a resurgence, but it does bother me to know that some of those cartoonists did not get paid, and their cartoons were reprinted without getting paid, you know, or, you know, they just took them off the internet, I guess, you know, and it's not right to do that. Like, I just don't understand how a publisher can just take a cartoon and print it without paying. I don't know, it's odd to me. But yeah, I mean, I think we've like hashed through this subject because I wanted to get it out of my system.
Have we hashed out through the subject?
There's still more going on.
Well, there's the back end of it of like people not doing the research and then like, and then just like using it as a scapegoat for them to do something. But that's, again, going to be an extremely subjective thing.
And also, you know what else is crazy? This
I wanted to post something, but attack. I'm not a cartoonist, so I needed something to post, you know? I just wanted to say that I actually wanted to go out there and say I care without trying to capitalize on it. But, of course, if I post anything, it's, like, still me promoting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people did repost my illustration, which I'm really happy that they did. But, you know, what is crazy, though, you know, this attack was brought on by, like, I'm sure they had help, but it was basically two brothers. And it's just so crazy that, like, two people, same thing was two brothers with the Boston bombing at the Boston Marathon. It's, like, it's so crazy that just, like, two people can carry on this, you know, and
it's that simple, too.
It is so simple.
I mean, the power of just two people is, to me...
Just one sometimes.
Or one person, yeah. But I'm like I like deuces. That sounds weird. I like duos. I like duos. Well, I think that's such a strong thing, like this team. And I know it's bad to say that now, but two people can do anything like that.
Yeah,
you know, you can do that.
It is crazy. You know, even Oklahoma City Bomber. Yeah, I mean, it was like mostly one guy's thought, but he had help with one other guy. And if anything, the guy who actually did it was, like, the dumbass that, like, the mastermind asked to do it,
like,
you know?
Like the muscle.
So, yeah, so, jeez, it's always got to be someone. It's just sad to me, you know? And also, you know, okay, so earlier in the episode, I was talking about how there was a female cartoonist that was at, you know, at the front door, and I guess she was picking up her daughter from daycare, kindergarten or something, and... like, the two masked men came at her and, you know, they wanted to get in. You know, like, here's situations, though, and I don't know what the rest of the street looked like outside, but, like, and this is, yeah, I guess during the morning, you know, would it be, like, does she... Wait, I don't know over there if it was in the morning, but either way, it's, like, I don't know if she had enough time to be, like, oh, no, I don't know the code. Like, I would have tried to maybe think on my feet to be, like... access to the code.
Did she know what was going to happen?
Probably. I mean, what would you do if you were, like, in front of a building and two masked guys with guns comes at you and they ask you to open the building?
I mean, that really is that thing. It's like life or death right there, you know?
But
those are hard decisions
to
make.
No, here's the thing. The door's already locked, right? They ask her to open it. She just keys it in and then, you know... massacre occurs.
Like, did they have a gun to her?
I don't know.
Those situations are really what it comes down to. You know what I mean?
But what if, you know how there are some people that do go into work at a certain place, but they might not know the key. They might not know the code and someone might have to buzz them in, right? So, like, I don't know if maybe, like, she could have been like, oh, I don't know it. Like, I don't actually have access to the code.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like in that moment, if you have a gun to your head, of course, I don't know. It's like panic.
But see, those are the things. I'm trying to put myself in that situation. Yeah, like, you know, if a gun is to my head, those are those tough decisions. Gun to my head or else you let me in. You know what I mean? And then you have to also wonder, okay, are you just going to kill me right here?
But that's the thing. Like, let's say if she said, I don't know the password.
Or you type in stuff and it's not working. Yeah. You know, like, it's supposed to, I don't know, you know, something in French.
Yeah. And or you say you don't know it, right? Are they just gonna shoot her and then like wait for the other people to come out? You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. And if they just shoot her at that time, then their whole plan is gone.
That's what I'm saying. So it's one of those. It's a situation from a criminal perspective and such that I'm well adept at having is you go there and like, okay, you're gonna have a gun out. Now you're out in the open. Put a gun to some girl's head. Now she's probably bugging out. Is she gonna tap it? It's like, really? Are you just going to kill someone? You're going to fire. Gunfire is going to happen. You're going to blow your cover.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. But of course, if you're afraid for your life, and, you know, it's tough. It's a tough, impossible question to answer.
Like, cartoonist, like, she's probably like really nice. So she's like, okay, let me put in the key for you. And like, but like, I imagine how she feels. She has to go the rest of her life, like, knowing that, like, she let them in and that she, like, has guilt probably to be like, oh my God, I killed my coworkers in some sense, you know?
I mean, yeah, that's crazy. That's true, But also at the end of the day, you know, I'm not there, so I don't really know exactly. Yeah. But there's certain situations. If there was a gun up there, again, like we were saying, it's like, you don't want to die.
Yeah.
No one really wants to die. Everyone's going to look back and,
I mean, even people that have committed, that have tried to commit suicide and lived, they have all said, like, when I was jumping, I knew I, like, didn't want to.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, luckily they ended up living. But, like, you know, they always at that moment, a lot of them say, like, oh, my God, I wish I didn't jump.
She did not know what was going to happen.
No.
She could add hints towards what was going
to
happen.
But, I mean, it's so, it happens so quick, too. Yeah. It's hard to really maneuver what you would do.
Like, you know, she has family. She has friends. She's thinking about that stuff at the same time. Yeah, there's going to be that guilt, at the, you know. But also, in a way, you're supposed to have security in these places, too.
I think they had bodyguards, and the bodyguards died with them.
Exactly.
They already had bodyguards already up there.
So what happened was these guys also didn't fully do their jobs. But then again, it's a bunch of people with guns, you know, rolling in like at the end of the Matrix, going into this building
apparently
with a whole bunch of guns.
They were very militant, and it was like a straight up, like, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah. So it's tough because you unlock the door, you didn't let it happen, but it happened. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to suck, and it's going to be bad. You know, you can't really blame yourself, too, for all these things. It's stupid to say that, but I understand how it's going to be hard to get over.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely that survivor's guilt. But also, you know, on top of it, those killers killed the police officer. And I know they didn't know his religion. Like, there's no way.
It doesn't
matter.
They're
in
a getaway.
Like, oh, he's Muslim. But, like, but that's what bothers me, too. It's like, oh, if you're doing this, like, for your religion, and then you just shoot one of your fellow man. You know, like, so,
because
shows, like, we're all just humans, so it's like,
we're all fucking human.
And then
human owned by the fucking dollar. Is that what it comes down to?
But
because, like, they're getting paid to do this.
Yeah. But it's sad, because then they did kill somebody of their own religion that probably, like, could agree with them. You know, and it's like,
yeah, but it's not like people in their own religion don't kill each other already.
That's so crazy. And I actually feel really bad for Muslims that are, like, good Muslims. And I know that's, like, most of them.
I feel bad for any, like, I feel bad for any people who are blinded by a religion, you know, that are straight up just, like, they don't even, they're so taken up with stuff that they still don't use their logic.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that makes me sad.
It is sad.
Because
it's
you still need
sad.
To follow your heart. You know, you still need to follow your heart, and you should follow your heart.
But that's what their heart believes.
But also, like, yeah, if that's what your heart believes, and that's the thing. But are they sure?
I think they are. I think they're brainwashed.
And that's where it becomes sad to me. You know what I mean?
Because also they get
not
a
everyone
lot,
is totally free, and I hate it when people
they get
anyone
a lot
is
of these
I don't
kids
like it.
At
I don't,
age eight.
And I don't like it when anyone is fucking handcuffed or stuck to any bad situation they can't get out of. It just makes me freaking frustrated, and that's my hero complex that
but
I have
also,
to deal with.
Like,
in life.
I've seen a lot of I guess a TED Talk also had a thing on suicide bombers, and it said that they get these kids at, like, really young age, 7, 8, maybe
even
younger.
And which is genius on people who are trying to brainwash people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And then the kid, you know, leaves his family. The family gets paid for the kid. And then they never see the kid ever again. And then he's taught how to use a gun and all this and brainwashed into thinking this way. They don't know any better.
Yeah.
It's sad. Like, you don't see American kids like that. If anything, you just see American kids struggling. Like, not really. I guess they try to start out good in school, but we'll see.
Yeah, but at the same time, conquering a struggle is one of the greatest things you can do for yourself. Knowing that you can do something, knowing that you can conquer something inside yourself or outside is one of the greatest things you can.
Yeah.
Whether it's people celebrating being sober, people getting an A on a test when they didn't think they can make it. Like, for me, I always think, like, the worst thing that can happen to somebody is an easy life.
Mm-hmm.
Because an easy life also gives you easy answers, and also it also means you don't know what things are worth anymore. You don't know the value of a dollar, so to speak, if you don't know how to earn that dollar, and you don't know what to buy. You know, if you're just spending millions because you know what the fucking all these millions are, and it means nothing to you, then things don't mean anything if it's easy. And maybe that's what it is. If it's so easy to draw, and if it means nothing, you know what I mean? Then maybe it doesn't mean anything. You gotta make things that mean something.
Yeah. But I still think it's good to make cartoons that are, you know, I'm not trying to tone down everything,
no, but
that are non-offensive, that people can enjoy.
No,
you know?
But that's what it means.
Yeah.
For people, that's the meaning behind that. To make something that people are like, oh, cool, that was fun and joyful. That's, you know, you're not trying to make, give the deepest, you know, you're not trying to freaking, you know, be CNN or be these world news, but that's what matters.
Yeah.
That's what matters is like what you're trying to put out there and its purity.
And really, I think these cartoons are trying to open a dialogue of conversation. They're not trying to like actually kill people.
Fuck. Maybe they're just trying to have fun. Because like everyone in a religion is so freaking serious all the time that they gotta be able to be like, hey, dude, it's not so.
And they've also made jokes about the Pope, about the Catholic Church. It's to me, it's like an equal opportunity offender, like as I like to say. So like, it's not like the whole thing is dedicated to like Allah and Muhammad cartoons.
It's,
you know,
what needs to be said to have fun.
Yeah. You know? So I don't know, man, and I can see how people are offended by some of the cartoons, and I'm not necessarily saying that they're hate cartoons, but. They're cartoons, and I'm not trying to dismiss cartoons, being like, oh, it's just cartoon, whatever. But, you know, you gotta know when to draw the line, and like, I don't really think that, you know, murder is the answer. And if you're gonna do stuff for religion, you know, you gotta do it the right way.
I think there's a better way.
There's
always a better way. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the end.
There's always a better way. There's always a better way. I think that's even like the line in a Racketeer song. There's gotta be a better way. Thank you guys. The first show of 2015. I hope you enjoyed it. We will try to put these out as many as fun and as, you know, as what we do.
Every week.
Every week. Every week. And yeah.
Guaranteed to offend and entertain.
That's what it is. Guaranteed to offend and entertain, guys. That's what the Carolyn Joe Show is. Astray Productions brings you this show. Check them out at astrayproductions.com. Check out my work at joecarabeo.com. Also, goastray.tumblr.com. Also, one-shots.com. We're going to make some films this year, guys. Keep on lookout for that. Also, check out my band, mickeyandmallory.com. Awesome stuff, I guarantee you. Don't forget to check out Carolyn's work at curls-studio.com and curls-studio.com/curls.
Yes.
What else you got, Carolyn?
I also have a website. Go to carolynbelefsky.com. You can check out my portfolio. You can check out tour dates. You can check out photos. Check out a whole bunch of cool stuff on there.
Yeah. I hope you guys have a awesome night. Awesome day. Whatever you're doing.
Make it awesome.
Yeah, make it awesome.
Make it worth it. And you never know when somebody's going to come after you with a gun.
And as always, be excellent to each other. My name's Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Catch you all later. See you, Carolyn.